Laws restricting marijuana have been relaxed in 40 states. Bills to legalize sports betting have been introduced in 43 states. Our next guest says we should keep an eye on the push to decriminalize prostitution. A bill was introduced this week to decriminalize prostitution in Washington, D.C. Similar bills have been unveiled in Maine and Massachusetts. In April, hearings were held in Rhode Island on a plan to study the effects of decriminalization. And this past Monday in New York State, Democrats introduced a comprehensive decriminalization bill. Under the proposal, penalties would be eliminated for those engaged in prostitution and those who solicit prostitutes. Jesse McKinley is the Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
What is going on in New York and elsewhere in the country? Any reason why now with this move to decriminalize prostitution?
Well, I think you're seeing a couple of things. I think, one, there has been kind of a reckoning about criminal justice issues, not only around things like prostitution, obviously, but drug use and drug laws and stuff like that. And that's kind of coming to confluence with a push for kind of a broader examination of transgender rights, of gay rights, and for people of color and immigrant rights. So you're seeing those, that kind of Venn diagram of those three kind of major issues kind of coming to a crux in prostitution, which particularly in New York City is often practiced by transgender people. It's often practiced by people of very limited means who may not be here legally, and it sometimes is practiced by homosexual people. So there are a number of issues here that seem to be kind of coalescing in kind of a broader criminal justice conversation.
Now give us an example of how this might work. Can you give us some details on the proposal in New York State? What are we seeing there?
Well, as you said, it is a fairly comprehensive bill. It doesn't simply decriminalizes, but it decriminalizes on both the buying and the selling end of the transaction, as well as the promotion of prostitution. And at the same time, it is, you know, the prohibitions on sex trafficking, on coercion, certainly of sexual abuse of minors, all of those would remain extant. But it is somewhat different than another push that has gone on in other countries and even other states, which is known as the Nordic model. And that, in brief, is basically the idea that you don't prosecute the prostitutes themselves, but you do go after the pimps and the Johns and the people that are actually buying the sex. And that is even with people that are abolitionists for the practice of prostitution, who don't believe in criminalization or certainly legalization, the idea of at least taking the criminal penalties away from people who are forced to do this, or for people for whom this is the only option, that Nordic model, that also is getting some traction in places as well.
Let's look at some of the arguments in play on the various sides. There's more than two in some ways. For people who are supporting decriminalization, one of the main phrases we seem to hear a lot is harm reduction. The idea that, okay, even if you don't like prostitution, people who are forced into it or choose to work in it are going to be safer if it's decriminalized. What are we hearing there?
Well, I think, once again, that's a two-part idea. One is certainly that people who are engaged in prostitution are often arrested. They often end up kind of in the wheels of the criminal justice system. They often have multiple arrests. They often find themselves victim of either police harassment or from pimps and people like that, and have very little recourse to kind of find justice. You know, if they're abused, if they're beaten, if they're assaulted, if they're raped, they are often very wary of calling the police or trying to seek help for fear of being arrested for the very act that they're, you know, for the act of prostitution. So the idea behind that is that if you can kind of, once again, release the penalties around the act of prostitution, then if something terrible happens, like an assault or a rape, then they can call the cops and get some help and get some justice, hopefully.
One of the objections, though, is if you decriminalize, make it, in effect, unpunishable for the prostitute and the so-called John, you're going to increase demand and then increase the incentive for all the bad stuff, the sex trafficking and all that goes along with it. Is that a big part of the argument against these ideas?
That is 100% a big part of this argument. I mean, a lot of the opponents of this that I talk to say, look, it is incredibly naive to think that somehow if you, decriminalize this and you're effectively going to create a marketplace, right? And then once you create a marketplace, what does a market do? A market creates demand, and then of course you have to supply people in that food chain. And so their argument is that, you know, the very act of decriminalization, although it has kind of a criminal justice reform sheen to it, is effectively creating an industry, and that industry will inevitably be fed by sex traffickers and people bringing people into the trade against their will. And if you look kind of globally at this issue, there's arguments for and against. You know, in places like Germany, where prostitution is legal, there has been a huge boom in, you know, the number of brothels and the number of sex workers in this profession. But there have also been some troubling reports that there have been, you know, some increases in illegal brothels in places that are fed by sex trafficking networks. By the same token, you know, in places like New Zealand, which decriminalized but didn't legalize in 2003, reports there are once again sort of mixed. They say that the lives of sex workers have actually tended to gotten better, that it's a little bit safer, that there's a little bit more regulation, but by the same token, it's not exactly a cheery situation all the time, that there are acts of violence still against people, that some of these people are forced to work long hours and in somewhat, you know, disreputable conditions. So wherever you look on this issue, one of the good reasons it's a good story and an interesting topic is that wherever you look, there's pros and cons, which seem to have a lot of equal weight.
Talking to Jesse McKinley, Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Times, about efforts to decriminalize prostitution in some states and Washington, D.C., looking around the country. Jesse, can you talk about the politics of this? What kind of groups are lining up on either side?
Well, it's interesting. This used to be very much of a fringe issue. The kind of decriminalization of prostitution dates back in America to at least the 1960s to groups like Coyote, if you remember that. There have been, for a long time, there was very little political support for it whatsoever. But what is interesting right now is that you're kind of seeing support come out of not only kind of classic progressive, you know, as I was saying, criminal justice ideas, but then also this kind of longstanding libertarian idea that we shouldn't have laws that to forbid drug use and the sex trade and things like that. And, of course, libertarians would probably fall on the more conservative end of this. So in one particular case, there's a group that was set up in Washington last year, backed by some libertarian money people who really want to decriminalize prostitution. But the people that they're working with in Washington, interestingly enough, come out of the marijuana legalization movement, which, of course, has some pretty deep liberal roots as well. So you're kind of seeing people on both ends glom onto this idea, both as a criminal justice and sometimes even as a personal freedom issue.
But on the other side of things, we see groups, I think, that could fairly be described as conservatives working with feminist organizations that usually might fall under a liberal camp now to oppose decriminalization.
Yeah, and the caveat I always have to offer when I write about this and or talk about it is it is unlikely in the extreme that this is going to get legalized wide scale anytime soon. Even with the kind of most optimistic supporters that you talk to, what they're basically talking is kind of a small state strategy. What they would ideally like to do is get a state like Rhode Island or a state like New Hampshire and craft kind of very narrow piece of legislation that basically decriminalized and then got it passed through that legislature, and then were able to kind of show through data and anecdotal reports that this was a good thing, or at least a no harm kind of thing. And then they would try to bring it to kind of bigger states like New York. Even here, while it was introduced and does have some prominent supporters, it's unlikely to get even out of committee this year. But I think to a large extent, the strategy here in New York is to at least get the conversation rolling. And even, you know, last week or this week when they introduced the bill, a couple of people came out, including one of the candidates for Queens DA, where a lot of kind of street-based prostitution is based, saying, you know, we should really have this conversation. Similar thing has happened in Brooklyn, where the Brooklyn DA has voiced kind of moderate support of this.
What are you seeing in some of those other maybe less populous states? Are other states advancing this kind of legislation or considering it at all strongly?
No, for the large part at this point, you're really seeing it come out of the Northeast. You know, states like, once again, Rhode Island at one point actually had legal prostitution through a strange loophole in their law, I think from 2003 to 2009. New Hampshire has played around with this idea. The Massachusetts has a decrim bill. Maine has had a decrim bill. So it tends to be kind of bluer states for the large part. But keep in mind that obviously the only place in the United States right now where prostitution is legal is Nevada, and only in a few counties there. So it doesn't really cut geographically, but it does tend to cut, you know, in places where Democrats seem to have more sway.
And Jesse, this is all at the state level or the District of Columbia level. Has anybody talked about this on a national stage in recent years?
Well, in terms of like national political figures, one of the more interesting people to kind of come out, at least in favor of some sort of conversation about this, was Kamala Harris, the junior senator out of California, and of course a 2020 presidential candidate. By the same token, John Hickenlooper, the governor of Colorado, also said, you know, maybe this is something we should look at. And I would not be surprised if next year during, or even this year during one of the primary debates, the question gets asked, you know, where do you stand on this? In fact, I would almost bet even money on it, because it does seem to be the kind of issue that once you start to kind of get people to converse about it, you get very strong opinions. And of course, nothing's better in politics than strong opinions. So,
as you mentioned earlier, Jesse, probably this isn't happening this year, but where are you watching around the country to see possible next steps in efforts to decriminalize prostitution?
Well, I think Rhode Island is an interesting case because, you know, as I said before, they actually had kind of through a loophole in the law, legal indoor prostitution for 6 or 7 years in the previous decade. And in late April, they had hearings on the possibility of at least studying this issue. And I would say that once again, New Hampshire, you know, there were some one bill to study the idea actually got through one of the houses of the New Hampshire legislature and then got shot down by Governor Sununu, who is a Republican and simply would not go for it. So, you know, kind of smaller states where you have kind of liberal leanings, those are the kind of places where I would probably bet, you know, you'd have the most action on it. But keep in mind, one of the interesting things about New York is that because of the media market here, because of, you know, 19 million people, because of a kind of proud Democratic tradition, you get a big megaphone, you know. When things happen in New York, they tend to get attention elsewhere. So if this bill here were to start to get a little bit of traction, maybe you would see it popping up in other kind of more liberal-leaning states.
Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Jesse McKinley, Albany Bureau Chief at the New York Times. We talked to them about the push to decriminalize prostitution in a handful of states around the country. Bills have been introduced in Maine, Massachusetts, and New York, as well as a proposal in Washington, D.C.